Stanley Cup Finals went down last night between the Edmonton Oilers and the Florida Panthers, and it went down to the wire. You had an incredible series, an incredible Game 7, where everyone was on their toes in the final seconds.
Dude, goalie Bob was incredible. It was like 2.5 minutes to go, and Edmonton was down 2-1, and they were just peppering him. And goalie Bob, he was like Julie the Cat from Mighty Ducks 2. Mm-hmm. She was all over the place. I'm not going to give him Goldberg treatment. She was like goalie the Cat, or Julie the Cat. He even lost his stick, and it was like a barrage. You had Panthers defenders just laying out, taking pucks left and right. It was an incredible finish to the Game 7 of the Stanley Cup. Yesterday was actually low-key, like ancillary sports, like heaven. You had the College World Series came down to the wire with Tennessee building a 6-1 lead, and then A&M comes back. They score 2 in the 8th, 2 in the 9th. Tennessee holds them off. They end up winning 6-5. Mm-hmm. A little bit of drama. Game started with a leadoff home run by Tennessee in the bottom of the first inning.
Did you see the relationship story that was profiled in that game?
No.
One of the pitchers, or I think it was one of the pitchers, Beam, his girlfriend is the daughter of the program director for Texas A&M, and her brother or uncle is the pitching coach for A&M. So she had
Max Wiener? That's their pitching coach's name at A&M. His name is Max Wiener.
Is he a Maximus?
I don't know, but I mean,
Maximus Wienerus?
Yeah. If that's going to be your name, Max is a great first name.
They knew they were doing it.
Yeah.
Max Wien.
Yeah.
But she had a hat on that said a red beam for him, but it was in Aggie colors.
Ooh. I don't know if I like that or not.
Right?
I don't know if I don't like that one bit. When he enters the portal and goes to A&M, we've got some problems. We got some tampering going
on. But
they
had him on the post game. They asked him about that. He's like, was it a little weird? He goes, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little weird.
Yeah. Played him a lot this year. Played him a lot this year. And then you had the track and field Olympic trials where you have the reigning world champion, the discus. She didn't even qualify. One of the reigning gold medalist in the 800 for the United States fell, didn't even make it. You got a 16-year-old making it as an alternate in the 4x400 relay.
Crazy.
The youngest, just wild.
Youngest Team USA track Olympian of all time.
Yeah.
16 years old.
That's crazy. That it's absolutely nuts. So you had like an ancillary sports palooza going on last night, and the Stanley Cup final is the one that everybody had their attention to because, look, Connor McDavid, best athlete at his craft right now in the world, and they race an 0-3 hole to the Florida Panthers. They come back and they win, or they come back to force a Game 7. Florida holds them off. Mm-hmm. You see what the local ABC station did in Florida?
No.
They cut away from the ABC broadcast to local coverage as the head coach was being interviewed on the ice after the Stanley Cup. Mm. They went to commercial break. They came back and it was just like local news in Miami.
So they just
saw that on
one,
awful
the one interview, and then they were, that's it, huh?
No, they cut it off as the interview was happening.
Oh God.
Yeah, that's what I saw in Awful Announcing. I obviously don't watch local Miami television.
Dude, we've got to do this better. Can we fix TV rights in 2024, please?
No, we can't do it. God, we can't do
so
it.
Dumb.
But the Stanley Cup final was so great because you had true greatness in Connor McDavid.
Mm-hmm.
You had goalie Bob, who was all over the place. And I think hockey does this better than any other sport. Connor McDavid won the Conn Smythe, which is the most valuable player in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Playoffs, not the final,
not the
but
final.
The playoffs. But that award does mean something. And he finished fourth in playoff points all time in a single season, 42.
It's pretty good.
Pretty good.
Like, when the great one is the one.
Gretzky and Mario record. Lemieux are the guys in front of you.
That's all right. That's all right.
Like you, when you're, like I said yesterday, if you're finding your name next to Gretzky's, you're doing good. you're keep it up. You're doing great, sweetie.
Yeah, and that is, but they've done this in hockey. Doesn't care if you win. They care if you were the most outstanding player in the playoffs. And I saw that Connor McDavid became only the sixth player all time to win the Conn Smythe on the losing team of the Stanley Cup.
But that's still significantly more than any of the other awards that are handed out in sports for that same kind of thing.
Well, it's that led me to kind of go through, because we have six in the NHL.
Mm-hmm.
In every other professional sport, there's only been one.
One.
Jerry West infamously won it, and we've talked a lot about that, as the 1969 NBA Finals MVP on a losing team. He only averaged 38-7-5 in the NBA Finals.
Is that okay?
That's okay. Mm. But do you know that was the first year that the MVP was ever given out in the NBA Finals?
Oh.
It was 1969. So the very first one went to a guy on a losing team. After that, nobody from the losing team has ever gotten Finals MVP. And I think this is where you can have that line of differentiation with the NHL and everybody else. Is it's their whole playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that.
A lot of games. And it is, you know, other sports have, you know, rounds and series. There is no war of attrition like the NHL playoffs.
No.
It's not particularly close. When you can grow a full beard from the beginning to the end.
Yeah.
It's a long time.
The old baseball's only got one as well. Well, I don't know. Some guys just sprout them up overnight. Like, sure. You know those guys who just get a beard? You're like, where the hell did that come from? I saw you the other day. You were clean shaving. How did that happen?
But to get what you do is you look at the young players on the team. If by the end of the playoffs they have a beard, it's like, ooh.
That is very true. Baseball has one. Do you know who baseball's is?
Oh, goodness. What year?
1960. 1960.
It's not, wouldn't be Koufax.
It's not, no, it's not. New York Yankees, Bobby Richardson.
Yeah, I wouldn't have gotten that one.
No, I knew you. Yeah, I mean, that's not a name that is a household name. But he was World Series MVP in 1960, despite the Yankees losing. He went, he hit 367 with 12 RBI and 8 runs scored in the World Series. And was World Series MVP despite the Yankees losing that series.
Makes sense.
Yeah, that one. And then there's one in the NFL as well. And I went back and I looked at it. This was just, they literally had nobody else to give it to. Chuck Howley won the Super Bowl MVP, Super Bowl V, back in 1971. Final score was 16-13. And I guess you could make an argument for John Mackey, the Colts tight end, who had a 75-yard touchdown in the game, except for he only had 2 catches. One was a 75-yard touchdown, and he only had 80 total yards of offense. Johnny Unitas split time with Earl Morrell, and there was a total of 6 interceptions between both teams thrown, so the quarterback was right out. The leading rusher in the game was Walt Garrison of the Cowboys, losing effort, who had 65 yards, no touchdowns on the game. And so they gave it to Chuck Howley, who in that Super Bowl had 3 tackles, one assisted tackle, and 2 interceptions in the game. So because he got 2 interceptions, they were like, I guess we're going to give it to the outside linebacker for the losing team, because nobody else had a stat line worthy of giving the MVP to.
The one I think that stands out for me is the 2017 Finals MVP, even though the Warriors won 4-1.
You mean Andre Iguodala's
MVP?
No,
this is KD's.
Oh, this is Kevin Durant. Oh, yeah, 17.
Which he deserved it to an extent, but LeBron James averaged 34-12-10. 34-12-10.
That seems good. That seems really good.
Like, again, they lost 4-1, but 34-12-10 in the NBA Finals. And in the round before that, he averaged 37-7. The round before that, it was 36-9-6. And then in the first round, it was 33-10-9.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So I think the NBA, that is one sport that they should go, instead of Finals MVP, Playoffs MVP. Period. Full stop. Because a majority of the time, like the Conn Smythe Trophy, it will go to a guy who's on the winning team, right?
Yeah, but sometimes it's going to be a guy who dominates the playoffs so much.
Yep.
First round, second round, third round. Like, you don't get there without that.
Yeah, and this year would have been a really interesting conversation that we could have had in this year's NBA Finals, because remember, heading into it, we're like, it's Jaylen Brown.
Mm-hmm.
But if you squint, it could be Tatum. If you squint, it could be Drew Holiday. But then on the other end, you could have been like, it could be Drew Holiday, or it could be Luka Doncic, who was outstanding throughout the playoffs.
Well, his first round wasn't great.
Yeah.
That's right. But his next two rounds, he was otherworldly as he started to figure out how he could deal with the injury. But yeah, I think it's super interesting to see kind of how they can go about doing that. But it's such a strange juxtaposition of how all of that stuff kind of fits together.
Yeah. So. I'm for it, though, because Connor McDavid, he had a truly one of the most historic playoff runs in Stanley Cup playoff history, and he was rewarded by getting the Conn Smythe Trophy. I think it's a cool thing that hockey does, because he was the most valuable player throughout the entirety of the playoffs.
It was an incredible run all the way through, which is how you end up next to Gretzky.
Dude, hockey does it right. The trophy, the award,
the playoffs, everything about
it. The fact that they don't touch the conference trophies, like the Edmonton Oilers players did not touch.
Treated it like it was radioactive.
Yeah. And so,
guy that carries the Stanley Cup wears gloves because he's not allowed to touch it.
Will they go back to Edmonton? Will any of those players ever touch?
Probably not.
That trophy? No. Probably not. You don't touch the logo in the center of your locker room. It's like,
you walk around
sacrilegious. You have to walk around it. Like, you don't want to touch that logo. You don't want to touch that logo in the middle of the locker room. I like what NHL has going. I wish I had the bandwidth to watch more of it. I don't.
The NBA should be taking from the NHL in like how they build things up.
Yeah.
It's the team, the trophy, like the Stanley Cup, and we talked about this another day, is probably the most revered and respected trophy in all of sports.
100%.
And everything kind of runs out from that.
NBA is third, and it's a good trophy. I like the Larry O'Brien, but Super Bowl trophy, the Lombardi is number two.
But even then, it's not treated like winning it as great as it is and an incredible triumph as it is.
It's not sacred.
No, and the triumph of winning the Stanley Cup, it's all hockey. Football players, you dream of making it to the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
That's the sacred thing, making it to the NFL. The NHL, the sacred thing is winning the Stanley Cup.
That's right.
That's I think, the difference between the two.
And riding buses in juniors.
Yeah.
Those two things are sacred.
Chicklets.
That's right. That's right.